Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing them spices, which they had prepared, and certain other with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. You may be seated. One word subject today, and that word is empty. Empty, usually, it initiates bad feeling. When we see that word empty or we hear that word empty, it's usually a bad thing. It's usually a negative. Empty is usually a disappointment. Empty, by its very definition, means containing nothing. In most of our lives, 99%, if we are looking for something and we cannot find it, it is a negative. But I want to encourage you today that empty is not always bad. Sometimes empty means that God's word has been fulfilled. Sometimes empty means that God's promise, the thing that he has prophesied, that promise has come to pass. Now, if you're watching from another state, you're watching us down here in deep South Texas, where we like sweet tea. I, at any point in time, will have 4 to 6 gallons of sweet tea in my refrigerator at home, in my second refrigerator. Come on, for those of you who understand the second refrigerator, got the second refrigerator filled with tea, and I got a couple gallons in my office. Now, it is not unusual at least one point during the week for me to call my family, for me to text my family, and we've got a group text called the Fender 4, and I'll get on that group text, and I will say, I need someone to go in both refrigerators and let me know how much tea is left. Because I don't want to drive 30 minutes home and drive by all of these places I can get sweet tea just to find out that you guys have drank all the good sweet tea. And don't tell me that there's some left when there's this much left. Just finish it off. Don't leave this much milk. Don't leave this much iced tea in the bottom of the gallon. But I'm always encouraged when they say, oh, we've got more than enough. Every once in a while, they'll encourage me, you better stop. There's not enough to make it through the night. There's not enough to make it through the weekend. And so I'm always concerned with making sure that things are filled up and that I have enough. But here is a story that we see in the Bible, and it is all about the resurrection. Now understand that the players in this game that we are reading about, the disciples, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and a woman named Joanna and other women have gathered here on this resurrection morning. They did not know it was resurrection morning when they woke up, but they would soon find out that everything had changed, that what Jesus had prophesied had come to pass. Can I encourage somebody today? You might have woke up in a world that you don't find comfortable, that you don't like, but I'm here to tell you that if you'll look around a little bit, if you'll search a little bit, you'll find out that God has been working while you've been sleeping. That while you've been mourning and while you've been grieving, God has been doing his best work. And I've lived long enough to know this church and to know this for everybody that's watching, that God does not do his best works on the main stage during prime time, but God does his best work behind the scenes. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. God does his best work when you're asleep and you've put it all in God's hands, and now you're resting. And I want to encourage somebody that just like Mary Magdalene, you are on the road to go and mourn and to grieve that which was lost, but you are about to be surprised because the resurrection has taken place. Can I encourage somebody that's watching today, the same Jesus that got up 2,000 years ago can resurrect your dreams, can resurrect your marriage, can resurrect your future. Quit going around grieving that thing. Quit going around acting as if it hasn't happened. And I want to encourage you, remember these disciples and these women had followed Jesus. They had heard the teachings of Jesus. For 33 years, Jesus was alive on this earth. For three and a half years, men and women had followed him as disciples, followed him as believers, left their family. Jesus was healing. Jesus was resurrecting other people. Jesus was teaching them not only about now, but about then, saying, I'm building a kingdom, saying things like, I will be killed, but I will rise from the dead on the third day. And they missed it. So there's five empty things that I want to talk about, and I want to give you a different perspective, because perspective will give you power when you can look at the same story in a different way. First time I've ever preached this on Easter, but I would like to take you to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. When you go to Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it is not the Easter story, but rather it is the story of Jesus in his birth. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The first empty I want to talk about is that the manger is empty. Every Christmas we will celebrate not a crucified Jesus, not a cross, but our nativity is filled with Jesus in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just a few days old. The wise men are there. The shepherds are there. All of the players in the nativity are there. Jesus is laying there. Joseph and Mary have surrounded him, and he's there in swaddling clothes. It makes a great centerpiece for your mantle. It is a great story to talk about, because there is no cross without the manger. But as much as I love Jesus in the manger, I'm so glad that Jesus did not stay in the manger. Because the proof that there is a God that is big and a Jesus that is working is that he outgrew the manger of his birth, and he was set on the road to resurrection. I want to encourage you today, what you look like is empty. What you look at that's empty is not always a bad thing, because sometimes it is empty, not because it's gone, but because it's grown. I want to help somebody today. You're looking at your life and you're saying, man, I wish I still had that in my life. It's not gone, it's just grown. It looks different than it used to look. It sounds different than it used to sound. Every once in a while, Pastor Mandy will come across a picture, especially on Facebook. They have the throwback app that shows you things, and she'll see a picture of little Jaden and little Tyler, and she almost gets teary-eyed, and she talks about, I love them when they were babies, and I can't believe they're so big now. And I'm thinking, and then she never mentions having another baby, because we're through that. People, we're closer to grandkids than we are kids. I'm telling you, praise God. But just a moment, you can tell that she misses that day. But I love the fact that my kids are no longer in diapers. Somebody ought to say praise God. I'm talking to somebody that's got toddlers, somebody that's got a newborn. Listen, enjoy it. Listen, those diapers are going to come and go, but what a day it's going to be when you potty train that little baby. And as much as I love the cute and cuddly Tyler, I like the Tyler that's alive now that can go run and get me something to eat in his own car. I like the Tyler now that can wait on his sister for praise team practice, and he can be her chauffeur for a while. Why? Because he grew up, he can now do different things. The empty manger signifies Jesus came to this earth, but he didn't stay in the small baby version, but he grew up to be an awesome God. He grew up to heal the blinded eyes, to open deaf ears. He grew up to walk on water and to calm the storm. He grew up to tell Lazarus, you can't stay dead, come out the grave. I am here to tell you, the empty manger is not a sad look. It is not a sad piece of history. It is exciting, saying God came to us, but he didn't stay that baby. He grew up to be the Jesus that we know as Savior. Something that we celebrated 2 days ago. Second empty I want to talk about is the empty cross. Luke 23, verse 53, it tells us that they took Jesus down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone where no man had ever laid. I love the fact that we can always look to the cross. And I love what the cross represents. People of God that are watching here today and sitting here today, can I encourage you, every time that you see the cross, we ought to be thankful, because that could have been our future. That could have been us on that cross. God could have made it
where each and every one of us had to die that gruesome death, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That word gave is not just gave him to us, but literally crucified him, literally put nails in his hands and put the crown of thorns on his head, a spear in his side. What a terrible death it was. But when I look to the cross, I look to a place that is empty. Jesus is no longer on the cross. I celebrate what took place on the cross. I celebrate the fact that Jesus is no longer there. We celebrate what Jesus achieved, past tense, through the crucifixion, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. I thank God and I celebrate the empty cross. That's where we would differ from our Catholic counterparts. We do not worship a Jesus that is on the cross. We worship a Jesus that had victory over the cross. And guess what? He got off. The cross is empty. That's why I don't wear a chain where Jesus is still on the cross. That's why the three crosses on the front of this building at the top of the towers that 250,000 people see every day, we're announcing to them, Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. The cross could not hold him. The cross was just a part of the process to get us to heaven, to get our relationship with Jesus secure. The cross was a part of the process so that we could look coronavirus dead in the face and say, I will live and not die. I can say that because the cross is empty. I want to encourage you. Take off the cross that Jesus is still on from around your neck. Retire that thing. Melt it down. You need a cross that's empty. We don't have statues around Living Way where Jesus is on the cross. We don't worship the Jesus on the cross. We worship Jesus that had victory over the cross. They took him from the cross and they put him in an empty tomb. Luke chapter 24, verses 2 and 3 is where we started today. They found the stone rolled away. Mary, Joanne, Mary, the mother of James, and a handful of other women were there first, and they had brought the ointments and the spices, and they were there to minister and to grieve, and they found out that the tomb was empty. This is fulfilled prophecy because in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, after he had just had a profound conversation with the disciples, mainly Simon, where Simon changes from Simon to Peter, he goes into this discourse and he talks about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the leaders of that day, how they were going to apprehend him and they were going to kill him, but after 3 days he would rise again. Can I just encourage you that sometimes Jesus does not speak in riddles, sometimes he speaks plainly. And a lot of times, even when he speaks plainly, they missed it. See, the moment that Jesus died on the cross, Peter, James, and John should have been back at the house planning Jesus' resurrection party. That Jesus is going to be back in 72 hours, and so we've got to make sure the news crew is out here. We better make sure that the photographer is lined up. We better make sure that we can go on Facebook Live for the resurrection because Jesus is getting out of the tomb. But so many times, just like us, their faith is wavering in the moment when it does not look like it is going to happen the way that Jesus said it would happen. When you read John 20, John 20 offers a different perspective of Mary at the sepulcher, at the tomb. She has a conversation and a discourse with the angels that are there. They ask her, why are you looking for the living among the dead? She turns around and Jesus is there. She has a conversation with Jesus, but she does not recognize him as Jesus because she is so grief-stricken. She thinks he is a gardener. Come on, don't mistake Jesus in your life. He's alive. He's talking to you today. He's ready to resurrect your dreams. He's ready to resurrect your life. Don't talk about him like he's still dead. Don't eulogize him like he's still gone. He is more alive today than he was when he was walking on this earth. But she's begging the gardener. She's talking to the angels and she's saying things like, I've come to take my Lord's body, but I can't find him. They've taken him away. Let me know where he is. And she begins, and this is so powerful, believers. She begins to create this narrative in her mind that explains away the miraculous resurrection.
And one of the most dangerous things we can do as believers is start a narrative that explains away the miraculous in our lives. Here Jesus is after everything he's done on this earth. He has been telling people they're going to tear down this temple, but in 3 days it will be built again. He point blank tells his disciples, they will kill me, but don't worry. 72 hours later, I will be back. And here he is waiting. Jesus is waiting on the celebration for his resurrection, and the people closest to him are explaining the resurrection away with a narrative that paints Jesus like everybody else. He said he could do it, but he could not do it. I want to encourage you on this Easter. Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. Everything he's promised, his promises are still in effect. You've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it a million more. There are no expiration dates on God's promises. If he promised it, he is faithful to perform it. He is the author and the finisher. And they gave up on Jesus in the middle of a book, in the middle of a chapter of the book. Can I encourage you? If you don't like this page, just turn to the next page because Jesus is coming back. If you don't like this chapter, just wait till the next chapter. Jesus is coming back. Well, you say, man, the whole book of my life. Well, guess what? There's more than one volume to your life. Just stay tuned. If God promised you, he's going to make sure that he brings to pass exactly what he has promised you. I see believers all the time creating this false narrative that explains away the power of Jesus Christ. My mother, my brother, my father, all three of them have beat cancer numerous times. And I'm so thankful for health caregivers. I'm so thankful for doctors and nurses, and they've had some of the best in the state of Texas. But we first and foremost thank God. You say, well, wasn't it the chemo? No, it was God. God might have used the chemo. God might have used surgery, but God gets the glory. I'm not going to explain away my miracle by science. I'm not going to explain away my miracle by coincidence or happenstance. Every good thing I have is because of God. Every good thing that I'm living in is because of God. He is a good God and only does good. And Mary Magdalene was sitting there, freshly delivered from 7 evil spirits. She's talking to Jesus, but she doesn't know she's talking to Jesus. She's talking to Jesus about Jesus being dead when Jesus was a living being right in front of her. I want to tell you, Jesus is alive. Quit acting like he's dead. Jesus is alive. Quit praying like he's dead. Jesus is alive. Start praising like he's alive. Start worshiping like he's alive. Start giving like he's alive. Start serving like he's alive. Somebody say amen. The fourth empty, I love this one, is the upper room. There's so many times where we look at empty as bad. If you could go to that upper room today, for us spirit-filled believers, it would be a sacred place for us because it's where the birth of the New Testament church started. But I'm here to tell you that if they had stayed in the upper room, they would have had a great time amongst themselves in the 120. The problem is the 8 billion people that are alive in this world today and the other billions that have lived since the upper room to where we stand today. They got something straight from God. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Cloven fire came down from heaven, sat on them. It was an absolutely amazing experience. But understand this. The experience would have been one generation lived if they had not left the upper room. So I do not look at the emptiness as something that is bad. I do not look at the emptiness as something that has been canceled. What I look at is God took those 120 and said, all right, it's time to empty the room so that we can fill the world. And here we are, fast forward 2,000 years later, and they tell us that close to 2 billion people are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, all because somebody didn't discount the empty and said it was filled for a moment, it was emptied in the next moment, and now look at what the Lord has done. Which leads me to the fifth empty, the churches. I stand in a room today that seats 4,000 people. There is a lot less than 4,000 sitting in here today. Just a couple handfuls of the essential media team and praise team.
And I miss those days when the church had people coming and going and hugging and high-fiving. And I've got my amen corner here on the front row, but it helps when I got my amen corner scattered out all over the building. I love church. I love the people of God. It's what we do. It's who we are. But today there are thousands of churches in our nation, tens of thousands of churches around the world that are shut down. And I've heard pastors get on and blast the government and blast sanctions and all of those things. I'm not going to be that pastor. I'm like, Paul, I am content with whatever you want to do. God, if we're locked up, we'll be locked up and have church. God, if we're locked out, we'll be locked out and have church. The church is not closed. Easter has not been canceled. It is a different expression, and you realize that more people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ preached today than they ever have in the history of mankind in one 24-hour period. I call that a success. I call that God turning something that was meant for evil to his good. And empty churches does not mean canceled churches. Empty churches does not mean quiet churches. Empty churches does not mean coward churches. The church has not been closed. The church has been deployed. We have been now sent out to the masses. We have been sent out to every home in our nation. Millions of people right this very second are hearing Jesus for the first time preach like we preach it. Millions of people for the second or third time are coming back to hear Jesus like they've never heard it preached before. An empty church is not a sad church. An empty church is a church that is on fire, that has been unleashed. And I am here to tell you the best days of the church are in front of us. The best days of you and your family are in front of you. All you've got to realize is empty doesn't mean bad. Empty means unleashed. Empty means we are taking what God has done in our lives and we are sharing it with the world. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. I keep watching. I'm on social media a lot. And I'm using it as much as I can. And I'm so sad that believers have already checked out. That pastors have already checked out. And they're playing the blame game. They're making excuses and all of these things. I want to encourage you. The church, as it stands today, is stronger than it has ever been in the history of all of mankind. I believe that heaven right now, the cloud of witnesses, I believe they're jumping and they're shouting just like, come on, Secretariat was coming around in the Kentucky Derby, just like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals and there's 30 seconds left. I believe that cloud of witnesses is excited. I believe that when all of this corona stuff happened, the devil thought he had our number, but little did he know that he was about to put a camera in everybody's hand. Little did he know that social media, which reaches somewhere around 6 billion people in this earth, was going to start being a tool that we use for Jesus. It wasn't going to be just Bishop Jakes and Pastor Joel Osteen anymore. Now it was going to be you and your sons and daughters talking about Jesus, preaching about Jesus. I'm here to tell you, an empty manger released Jesus into ministry. An empty cross released healing and salvation to the masses. An empty tomb released resurrection to people. An empty upper room gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. And an empty church means we take every bit of those things to our lost and hurting world in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. We're empty. This group here, you can't see them, but this group here that's been leading you in worship the last 4 weeks, every Sunday, every Wednesday, they come and they empty themselves out in worship. See, there's two reasons you're empty. Because you haven't filled yourself, or you've recently emptied yourself. Come on. See, when you empty yourself, God will refill you. And when God refills you, David said it like this, my cup runs over. This is, man, what an exciting time to be alive. Every day I'm emptying myself because I know when God fills me, he's going to fill me to overflow. 2 or 3 years ago, I preached on increase your capacity. I believe that my capacity has increased the last 4 weeks. I believe this church capacity has increased. I believe your capacity has increased. church is empty, but the church is strong. I walk through this building when none of the lights are on, no sound, no PA, the LED wall, lights, all that's off. And I just think about all the things that God has done in here. I walk and I pray. And one thing God showed me just a couple weeks ago, I was just walking through here praying on the way to the TV studio. And I said, God, some amazing things have been done in this place. And I can't wait for more amazing things to be done. And this is what God stopped me and he said this. He said, the things that have been done in this place have paled in comparison to the things that I've done outside of this place because of what's happened in this place. Come on now. That means that you're anointed here so that you can have anointing there. That means you're healed here so you can be a carrier of healing there. That means you're delivered here so that you can be a walking, talking deliverer out there. I believe we're just beginning to see the first wave of the Holy Ghost, revival and awakening. Reviving means bringing people back. Awakening means bringing people to the decision for the first time. You're watching today, Jesus is alive. But I want to tell you, Jesus has been alive for 2,000 years. He'll be alive tomorrow. Come Christmas time, he'll still be alive. If Corona should extend for another 6 months, guess what? Jesus is still alive. Should the miraculous power flow through our country and our world tonight and Corona is in the rearview mirror by this time next week, guess what? Jesus is still alive. That's why I don't fret. I don't worry. Because every symbol of hope I have is empty because Jesus is everywhere. And I want to encourage you today, in your living room, Jesus sits on the couch next to you. Driving to work right now, Jesus is riding shotgun. Watching this archive 2 years from now, Jesus is still right there with you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the reason he went to a cross is to save. The Bible says that Jesus came to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost. You hear that word lost a lot in church, and you say, what does that mean, I'm lost? It just means that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He died to give you that relationship. And I want to help you receive Jesus today in your life. You say, what does that mean? The number one thing is it means that you have a relationship with him that is going to go through eternity and that you will not go to hell. You'll go to a really real place called heaven. But it also means that you have an ever-present help in the time of trouble and need here on this earth. Say, how do I do that? I want that in my life. I'm glad that you asked. It's very simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you admit that you need to save, you admit that you've made mistakes, ABC, admit, believe, confess. It's as simple as that. That Jesus will come into your heart. He'll sit down in your life and he'll become your Savior. You're ready to make that decision. I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. That just means I surrender. That means, God, I let go of everything that I have and I receive everything that you have. And I need you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. I need you in my life. On Easter 2020, I looked to the cross that you died on so that I might have life for eternity. I believe, Jesus, you are the only way to heaven. You are the Son of God that died for me, bled for me, and rose again for me. Wash away my sins. Forgive me of all of my mistakes and my failures. I receive you and accept you into my heart as my Savior. And I will spend the rest of my life making you my Lord. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. I can't wait to spend eternity with you in heaven. Amen and amen. That means that you are now a child of God. This is what the Bible says, that when one sinner comes and repents, which is what you just did, that there is celebration.